Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. All right, we are back at 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is Lou Mulletier. Lou is Vice President of Marketing for Milliken & Michaels, a financial services company out of Metairie, Louisiana, which is hard by to New Orleans. And Lou has been with us before to help us talk about credit policies, how to develop a good credit policy, have a good credit policy culture in your employees, especially your sales force and your accounts receivable organization. Lou, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you. It's good to be here.
It's always good to have you with us, sir. And I appreciate you talking about these things and sharing some of your insights with us, Lou, because one of the things that small business owners really have to deal with every day is they want more business. And if they're in the kind of business that requires them to extend credit, they have some kind of terms for their customers. They're in wholesale or construction or something like that, that where they have to give their customers some terms, 10, 30, 45, whatever, those days. They've got to be able to make sure that when they extend that credit, that they do a good job so that they've made a wise decision and that they collect their money. Because you and I both know small business owners can't afford any bad debt write-off. They budget for it, but they really can't afford it.
No, that's exactly right. And I think that the key to what you've just said is the whole notion of trying to manage around it. And while they do budget for it, it's how do you plan for it? How do you decide exactly when and what kind of information are you going to gather so it doesn't become burdensome for either you as a business owner or for someone who wants to do business with you?
Right. You want to make sure that it's professional, it gets the job done, but that the customer doesn't think that you're trying to find out, you know, give them the third degree, so to speak.
Right, exactly.
And not only the questions and the way the documents are presented but it's the way that the information is collected. That's really important, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly right. And you know, I think that the very first step in terms of trying to determine how you want to manage your credit policy is to first of all determine at what point do you feel it's necessary to gather information and how much information do you want to gather. For example, there are some reference books that are in the marketplace today that provide some very basic information that business owners can use, very reasonably priced. But, for example, you can look into the reference book and you can see the number of years that the company's been in business, mm-hmm. how many employees it has, what its annual sales are. And you really don't get a credit rating as we commonly know or understand them, but you get some very basic information that says, yeah, these guys are around and they've been in business for a while, so you have some level of comfort that it's not someone just coming in to attempt to take advantage of you.
Right.
And that's certainly one level of looking at and screening, if you will, potential sales or potential clients.
Mm-hmm. Now, does Milliken & Michaels offer services like that?
We can make available we have a relationship with two companies that would allow a business owner to simply look at the information that I've described, and we also offer credit reporting through Experian, which is the old TRW company. We have a full-service credit reporting bureau. So, yes, we can offer very basic services on up to full-scale credit reporting.
Because, you know, you were talking about the reference documents. A lot of people, though, do business with companies who are not – maybe they're not tiny – but they're not up on the radar screen enough to be in those documents.
Well, most of them, in the reference documents that I'm speaking about, most of them are. I mean, if they've been in business any length of time at all, 9 months to a year, they'll be in that document.
Is that
now,
right?
Again,
okay.
You have to remember, though, that these documents that I'm talking about and the reference books that I'm speaking of are not, they're not credit granting I'm sorry. I think we had a.
That's okay. Go ahead.
They're not. they're not credit granting documents in the sense of providing a credit rating for a business. They are, they're simply documents that help you understand that the business is up and running and it it has a reputation for being there.
It's a real business.
It's a real business.
It's a going
exactly.
concern, and it's just, and it's, think of it as one of the components of your research. And you know, the thing about it though, and I'm glad you brought that up, that's critical, isn't it, to having a good credit policy, is doing the research. So many small business owners don't do that. All they see, and especially their sales representatives, all they see is somebody wants to do business with me. This must be good because, you know, I mean, they're just so excited about it.
Sure, that's exactly right. And I guess what I think is a very, very effective way of dealing with credit is to have a business owner, first of all, establish a threshold or a limit so that, for example, if an order comes in for $2,000 or less, the minimum that they're going to do is at least look in the book and see whether or not, and maybe it's not even $2,000 or less, maybe it's between $200 and $2,000,
mm-hmm.
they'll at least look in the book to make sure that they're dealing with the business that's established.
Right.
If it's under $200, maybe they don't do anything. If it's more than $2,000, then they need some additional information that we can talk about in a second or two. But the notion here is that you establish a limit that you intend as a business owner to grant credit on, and then you get information that helps support whatever that limit is that you're willing to grant.
Right. I call that, you were saying, you know, the over 2,000 or whatever, I call that a blink level.
Yes.
If it makes you blink, then you know.
Or if it gets high enough, it might make you gulp.
Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah, that's great. Well, you know, I want to go back, and I know I want you to get into, when we come back after this next break, which will be coming up in about a minute or so, I want you to talk to us about the application, the documents that we actually use. But before we do that, I really want to take just a half a minute and talk about how important it is for all the employees, the sales representatives, all the way from the sales reps all the way up to the owner, the AR people, the accounts receivable folks, all that, everyone to be tuned into the same attitude. Hey, we want this business, but we really want to collect our money.
Yeah, I think that you're right in that. I think that so often we think it's the sale that matters when it's really the sale that comes first, but it's the collecting of the money that matters. That's what really pays the bills.
The check clearing the bank. That's when you celebrate, not when you make the sale.
That's exactly right.
All right, folks. Lou, stand by. We got to take a break. It's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. All right, we are back. It's 24 after the hour. Our special guest is Lou Molitaire. Lou is Vice President of Marketing at Milliken & Michaels Company. And our phone number is 888-822-8255. That's a toll-free number to call if you'd like to talk to me or my special guest, Lou Molitaire. Lou is an expert at credit policies, credit applications. His company specializes in helping you make sure that you get you make the sale and you collect your money and you keep the customer, which are three things that are very important, obviously. But if you'd like to talk to him, if you've got a question, if you've got a relationship that you're having difficulty with a customer, maybe you're about to make a sale or anything at all, if you need help understanding how to train your accounts receivable person so that they collect your money without making everybody mad, maybe you need a thought that you could use a little help on what to say to your sales representatives, how to make sure that they use the credit application as a tool to help them sell, not as an impediment to keep them from selling. And so give us a call, 888-822-8255. Lou is the man. He can tell you. Lou, take a half a minute and tell us a little bit about Milliken & Michaels.
Sure. Milliken & Michaels, we're a national company. We had over $1 billion of receivables placed with us for collection last year, but we offer more than just collection services. We have an arrangement, a strategic relationship with Experian Credit Reporting. We offer credit reporting services. We run seminars, educational programs for our clients to help them do a better job of collecting money in-house. We have a legal forwarding and management service where if you have a debtor that is not paying your bill and we're unable to affect collection, we can work with attorneys around the country, around the world for that matter, to help affect collection for you. So we have a broad array of services. We're looking at some others as well, but that's fundamentally what we do. We have offices in 10 locations. We stretch from Portland to Philadelphia to New Orleans to Tucson, Arizona.
Do you have an 800 number where if someone wanted to contact you about any of the services that you offer?
Absolutely, and they can contact me directly at 800-735-6008. And if they'll ask for me, I'd be glad to get on the phone and chat with them and see what we could do to help them.
And I'm going to do something that one of my callers called in one time and said I should do every time. I'm going to spell your last name. I actually had a caller say, Jim, spell their last name. Sometimes we don't know how to spell it. It's Lou. That's his first name, folks. Just spell his last name, M-O-L-E-T-T-I-E-R-E, Moletiere. But I bet if you just say it something like that, I bet they'll find you.
They can get to me.
And if you lose any of Lou's information, if you didn't get it down, please contact me and I'll be glad to pass you along. Lou, you were going to tell us some ways that we can accomplish good credit policies and the application is the key. That's one of the main documents that you need, isn't it?
Well, the application is key, and here's what I would suggest, Jim. I think for a small business owner that's just simply strapped for time, that they think through, take most applications that you see today are very extensive. They include lots of information on the company's name, its address, and so on, the principal's name, it requests trade references, banking references,
mm-hmm.
Other business information. Sometimes they even have a personal guarantee on the credit applications.
Right.
My suggestion is this. It just doesn't make sense to try and get all of that information for every credit application. I think that there are different levels of risk that a business owner is willing to assume in terms of granting credit, not unlike what we were talking about earlier where you establish a threshold. And in my mind, there's really probably three different groups or two thresholds. There's that initial threshold, and maybe that's the $200 mark that we talked about mm-hmm. where a business owner says if they come in and ask for credit for $200 or less, I'm just going to risk that by mm-hmm. saying I grant them credit at $200 or less.
Sign here.
Yeah, exactly. And then I don't have to do a lot for that. I don't spend a lot of time and effort because the anticipated loss on that is not going to be significant on my business.
Right.
Then there's that second tier where you move from the $200, and I'm just using those as arbitrary marks, but $200 to $2,000, where you go check them out, and it's a quick check in a reference book that you know that they've been in business for X number of years, they have so many employees, and so on. So that gives you some level of comfort at that second tier, and you have a dollar amount that you're willing to grant at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get into the third tier where, as you described, the blink factor that you say, hey, I really need more information before I'm willing to put that much of my business on the line with this potential customer.
And by doing it that way, when you got a potential big customer who starts out at 200, you haven't made it a federal case just because the guy wanted to start out doing business with you.
You become very easy to do business with, and as you grow, you get slightly more information. And by the way, your information is gathered as you continue to do business with that client.
Exactly. Stand by, folks. Well said, Lou. It's 29 after. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after the hour. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. We're visiting with our good friend Lou Moletiere. Lou is Vice President of Marketing at Milliken & Michaels, a financial services company specializing in helping you to extend credit to your customers and helping you to collect that money when you have difficulty collecting it. And also, one of the things that I think is very important, helping you collect that money and keep the customer, if at all possible. They offer a wide array of different financial services products and services that they can make available to you. And one of the things, Lou, we've been talking about is that I really like what you were saying before we took the last break, and that is that different levels of business prompt different levels of credit information.
Mm-hmm.
And think about it like that, folks. As he said, if establish a benchmark, establish a line. Anybody, if you know them, now, obviously you don't let somebody have $200 on credit if no one's ever seen this person before. You don't know the company. But if the salesperson or the clerk or the owner or whatever knows this person, they want to sign for $200, then, as you say, maybe that's what you let them have. Maybe it's $500. Maybe it's $50. Whatever your company feels comfortable with. And then move on up to the next levels. Let's talk about what's going on above the blink level. What I call the blink level, and that's where if they don't pay you, not And Lou, not so much that they don't, that you're thinking that they don't pay you, but it's enough money that if they wait an extra 10 or 15 or 30 days, it's going to hurt you.
Well, I think that's right. I don't think that you go into the relationship with the expectation that you're not going to be paid, but I think that it's prudent as a business person to go into the relationship having some understanding or knowledge of how well this business is paying its creditors.
Right.
You're providing your products and services on the basis of being paid at a reasonable time, and you have every right to ask of them, you know, how are you paying your bills? So that's really the point, I think, that when you get to that higher level, Jim, where you get to that blink factor, that there's a couple of bits of information you ought to look for. And, you know, again, if I go back to the standard credit application where they look for bank references and sometimes include personal guarantees and that kind of thing, I'm not sure that you need all of that. I think that there may be at a point where you really are going to put your business on the line with someone else when you might want them to provide banking relationships and financials of your company, but they're the rare occasion. I think what you're looking for when you get to that blink factor are trade references.
Mm-hmm.
That's the single most difficult bit of information to get for credit reporting purposes, and it's the single most helpful information in terms of granting credit, because
right.
What it does for you is it tells you the history and how well businesses are currently paying other businesses with whom they're doing business.
Right. Well, and that's an excellent point. And one of the things you want to pay attention to, folks, if you're thinking about doing business with somebody, say you're in a construction business, and or you're in the construction supply business, and a contractor comes to you and wants you to extend some credit, and you ask them for trade references, and they give you their jewelry store, that's not a good idea, is it?
Well, if they're spending a lot of money at the jewelry store, I think I might want to find out of who else they're buying goods from, you know, in terms of building materials.
Exactly. Now, it needs to be something somewhat connected, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it does. And I think, you know, look, I think that if you or I or anyone else is going to give a trade reference, you're going to give a reference of the business or the firm that you think is going to speak favorably of you.
Right.
You're certainly not going to give the name of a reference that you believe is going to say, hey, this guy is a deadbeat. So,
well, and the other thing is, if somebody, and this is really important because this happens all the time, Lou, and I know you guys see this too, if somebody is going to, if they just appear out of the blue and they've got some business for you, your first instinct is, man, I've wanted this business, I wanted this guy to do business with me or whatever it might be, and then you ask for trade references and they don't give you the name of somebody that you know they've been doing business with, then they've just been put on COD by that company.
I think that's an excellent point, and I think particularly if it's in a competitive line of products or services that you offer, you know that they've had a relationship with that company for a while, and now they're coming to you, and as you say, they come to you out of the blue without you having to really have done a lot of marketing or sales to them. You need to question that, because at that point, you know, either they're dissatisfied with your competitor, and it'd be good to know why. But you need to understand why they're just simply making that move at that point in time.
Right. Now, one thing, though, and I'm gonna change hats a little bit here, Lou. I'm going to get more over on the creditor side on the borrower side for just a minute, the customer side. That's one of the things that I recommend to small business owners, Lou, is that they always have at least two companies to get any product from, any service or commodity or whatever from. Always have that, because you want to move your business around between those two companies. I always recommend that you don't wait until you've maxed out your credit with one company to go find another one.
Yeah, I think, well, not only that, I think they're excellent points, but I would also, you know, there's this whole notion of trying to keep your supplier at least a little bit honest with the prices that they're charging you and the service that they're providing you. You don't want them to be complacent and thinking that they've got you locked down.
Absolutely. Well said, Lou. Good point. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. It's 39 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is Lou Mulliter, Vice President of Marketing with Milliken & Michaels. And our phone number is 888-822-8255. Give us a call. We'll be right back. We are back. Welcome back. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Our special guest this hour is Lou Molitaire. He's Vice President of Marketing with Milliken & Michaels, a outstanding financial services company that specializes in many things. But the way I like to say it is they help you make the sale, collect your money, and keep the customer. Lou, would that be a decent way to say it in 25 words or less?
Yeah, it would be, and I hope we do all those things well for our clients.
Well, I'm sure you do, because I know you guys are growing. You guys have got a lot going on, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a great year in 98, and we look forward to a better year in 99.
Anything in particular that you'd like to share with us that you guys have got going on that's coming down the pike that you would want to tell us about?
Well, I mentioned earlier the relationship that we have with Experian, where we offer credit reporting services. That's, we think, going to be very helpful to our clients in terms of being able to grant credit, just get more information more readily available to them at a more attractive price. So we think that that'll be a great boon to our 47,000 clients.
Well, you know, and let's talk about 47,001 here, Mr. and Mrs. Small Business Person, sort of just getting their business off the ground, and they're starting to have some pretty good sales with having to extend some credit. They might be intimidated by the process of trying to plug into an organization, a national organization like yours. How would they go about that?
Well, very easily, for that matter. We have, in fact, you know, I gave our number out earlier. Mm-hmm. If they wanted to, they could simply give me a call, and I'd take a personal interest, Jim, in getting them in touch with one of our account executives.
But could we take just a half a minute or so, and just let's talk about quickly about that process, because I really think that's educational, Lou, because I want my audience to say, okay, if I choose not to call, I choose not to call, not because I don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that the way the process works is, you know, just about all of it is transacted over the telephone. Someone calls in, they explain to us what they're trying to accomplish. Our financial services account executives would spend time with them on the telephone, explaining the types of services or products that are available.
And all that's free. That doesn't cost them anything.
Absolutely.
You even pay for the phone call.
Absolutely.
Okay, go ahead.
In fact, we even have something we call the customer profile search that's free to clients or potential clients, where if someone has a negative type credit reporting, we'll be glad to let them know that by simply having them give us a telephone number.
So that you'll actually tell them how their own credit looks. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm. You know, if they have a concern over another business.
Oh, I got you. I'm sorry. You
know, maybe they've been placed for collection, and they'd like to know. Well, they'd like to know whether or not they've been placed for collection with our company. We could tell them that.
Yeah.
But I guess the point is that we'd be glad to spend time with them, tell them what services or products are available to them, send them literature, and if they are interested in doing business with them, we'd like to do business with them. And there's no cost for the call. There's no cost for the information.
And would they be able to give them, in that call or within a call or two, would they be able to tell them approximately what it would cost?
Yes, absolutely, sure.
So they would be able to find out if it's going to be, you know, cost them, you know, $50 or $100 or $1,000, whatever the service. Of course, we don't know what they're going to ask for, what service level of service they're going to want. But the main thing is for free, by making an 800 number call and asking a few questions and answering a few questions, you can find out if there's a company out there like Milliken & Michaels that can help you be a resource. And that's the way I think of companies like yours, Lou, is you're a resource. You're sort of an extension of our company. You're sort of a specialist that we can rent, so to speak, to help us do a better job.
Sure, and if we can't help them, or if we know of other companies that can help them, we'd be glad to get them off in the right direction. I mean,
good. It's,
we can't help everyone in all cases, but we can certainly point them somewhere.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to tell us about that, folks, Lou, because I want my audience to know, just you telling us about your company, in my opinion, is educational, because a lot of people out there, I know you've got millions of clients, but there are millions more who have never done business with a company like yours, and they need to know how, in my opinion, they need to know how to take advantage of what you have to offer, companies like yours have to offer, so that they can do what I said, which is to make the sale, collect the money, and keep the customer.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah. Tell us, let's talk a little bit more about trade references. I know you have a few more things to say about that.
Sure. You know, we talk about trade references, and I mentioned that trade references, number one, are probably one of the most difficult data elements to gather on any business, and that's because it's just difficult to go out and find out who's doing business with who in the marketplace. So, and there aren't that many businesses that report transactions of all other businesses. There's just simply such a high volume of transactions. So,
right.
So trade references are the most sought after and most difficult bits of information to get. But nonetheless, there's still other kinds of information that you can get from credit reporting services, whether it's Experian or some other credit reporting service. You can get information that tells you, the credit or trade history, and in many cases, the rating of businesses in different levels. You can get summaries of business information, or you can get full-blown detailed reports. And it's worth exploring what those are to help you in your business.
And when we come back, I want you to tell us about some of the different ways that we can get that electronically and by print, different ways that we can do that. Stay with us, folks. It's 50 After the Hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. It's 54 After the Hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is Lou Mullett here. Let me tell you what's coming up. Some of our next guests, Russ Brown is going to be with us coming right up, and he is going to be talking to us about buying and selling a business. Russ is one of our experts on that. And also, Rick Pena is going to be with us. We're going to be talking about financial planning for you personally and perhaps a little bit for your company. Bob Sullivan is going to be coming up with us in the days ahead to talk about Internet issues. Bob is an expert in that. Whitney Johns is going to help us talk about how to capitalize your company, especially for the ladies. She specializes in that. But guys, don't worry. We're going to talk about yours too. And Doug Stives, our resident CPA, is going to be coming up with us in the days ahead. And we're going to be talking about 99 tax issues and accounting issues for your company. Lou Mullettier is our special guest, and he's with Milliken & Michaels. He's vice president of marketing. We've been talking about credit policies and credit reporting and how to get trade references and a lot of different things like that. And one of the things that I want to ask you, Lou, before we get into credit reporting, is on this information that you've been saying that you've been talking about collecting, how much of that is available electronically where we can just get it on our computer over the Internet?
Well, I think that you'll find that there's quite a bit of what we call public domain information that's available that generally comes up on credit reports. And by that I mean adverse legal filings that you can find readily available on the Internet. So that if you wanted to go in and see if a business is in some sort of litigation with some other businesses, you get to see that on the Internet. That's readily available.
Mm-hmm.
You can get in and get information on UCC filings where a business has pledged the assets of its business, whether it's the receivables or hard assets of the business, equipment or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You can see whether or not the equipment has pledged businesses, so it gives you some sense of where the business is standing. Now, it's not necessarily bad, and I don't want to imply that. But
right, because if you buy a computer and finance it at the bank, there's a UCC on that.
Correct, So I guess the point of it is that it's a source of information, and anything that's in the public domain right now is very rapidly becoming available on the Internet. So
right. So
you'll see quite a bit of that.
Okay.
There's also news articles that are becoming readily available on the Internet on businesses. They tend to obviously to be larger companies, but that's coming around in time. But if you think in terms of what might be public domain information, that is becoming very, very rapidly available on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can see credit reporting that is available either in some cases on the Internet. A number of credit reporting companies offer via the Internet credit reports.
How do we protect our privacy in cases like that where it's available to electronically?
As an individual or as a business?
Either one.
Well, it's certainly you want to go over a secure socket on the Internet. The information that you're getting from a credit reporting bureau is information that's available about you or your business, so that you certainly can put information in there if there's something adverse recorded.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of protecting it from other sources that might see it on the Internet, you have to almost always use a secure socket. And most
right.
of those credit reporting bureaus do that.
And that's the thing. People need to understand is that everybody can't get to all this information.
That's correct.
Yeah. Lou, we got to wrap it up. We're coming up on the end of the hour. You did a great job today. I really appreciate the help that you gave my audience.
Well, I enjoy being with you and your audience, Jim.
Thank you very much. We'll do it again real soon.
Okay, thanks.
Have a good one.
You too.
All right, folks, got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.